The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I live in this community. I have for several years. I don't believe that I should be seeing signs advertising for children to be dancing on stage with men in thongs and in inappropriate clothing and makeup.
The organizers say today was a family-friendly event with a safe environment separate from their normal operations. In a statement, they said, "We believe everyone should have a space to celebrate who they are. Mr. Misters is a place where everyone is welcome to feel accepted, safe, and included." AJ Cruz has worked at Mr. Misters for about 2 years now. He said today's event allows people to express themselves.
There was a lot less people drinking today, so that would make it more kid-friendly just because there's so many people here. Everyone just came from all walks of life and, you know, just enjoyed Pride.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. What you heard is a report from Dallas, Texas. Of course, this is Pride Month. You have probably seen the rainbow flags in your community. President Bill Clinton first declared June Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. That was in 1999. In 1999 and 2000, it was resurrected again during both the Obama administrations and again with President Joe Biden. And at issue here is an event that's going on at a bar that caters to those with same-sex attraction in Dallas, inviting children to take the stage along with drag queens, men dressing as women. And of course, you heard the outrage in the community, but we're seeing more and more of this across the country as we become more accepting. And that's a word that cuts both ways, doesn't it? Let's go inside this story because it could be happening in your community as well. And it also speaks to what we need to do as moms and dads in educating our kids and really taking the lead in that. And also a lot of the messages that they're receiving, not only in secular media, but also in public education as well. Dr. Teresa Farnan is with us. She's an author and moral philosopher who specializes in virtue ethics, moral education, philosophy of the person, gender and sexuality, and ethical issues facing the family. She's also the co-founder of Person and Identity Project, and that equips Catholic dioceses, schools, parishes, and parents with formation and resources on Christian anthropology and also gender identity. And you can find more online at personandidentity.com. Again, the website is personandidentity.com. Dr. Teresa, welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm always so delighted to be here.
Does any of this surprise you anymore?
None. Not at all. Not at all. And in fact, when my colleague and sister, Mary Hassan, and I wrote a book that was published in 2018 called Get Out Now, somewhat dramatic, but why you should pull your child from public school before it's too late. And in it, the first three chapters were on the push to push gender ideology into the schools. And at the time, it was hard to get people to take us seriously. And everything that we wrote about has come true, and then some. But look, the whole point of both these pride parades and of queer culture, right? We've moved beyond just people who are gay, identify as gay and lesbian, to a culture that's trying to normalize queerness. And they've, you know, the word queer when I was growing up was an insult. They've taken that and turned it so that it's sort of a descriptor for what they want to do. And in postmodern philosophy, queering the culture means that you transgress norms, you behave in a subversive way in order to tear down the structures, social structures, and the culture that has surrounded the family, the Christian family, all of Western civilization, so that you can deconstruct it and build it back up in the image you want. And that is exactly what's going on here with these drag shows and with the ever-present Pride Month. Make no mistake, this is a new state-sponsored religion, and they are determined that everybody get in line and comply.
And Dr. Teresa, we're not being overly dramatic here by saying the deconstruction of Western civilization. This is indeed happening, and it's happening with greater frequency in all of our communities. It's happening in Dallas, Texas. It's happening in Salt Lake City, Utah, in big and small cities all across the United States and around the world. Are we going to get to the point, do you think, of critical mass where we just say enough and hit the reset button?
Well, I mean, if you had posed this scenario to families 25 years ago,
no one would believe it.
No one would have believed it. And they would have said no one would ever have allowed a public library. You think back on the history of public libraries started by Carnegie and some of the other wealthy industrialists from the 19th century, and how they were supposed to elevate people and give people access to education so that they could improve their standing in life, right? And when I was growing up, the library was a safe place where you could send your kids. So if they're in the public library, and if parents are bringing their kids to libraries, to gay bars, so that their kids can watch men dressed as women in scantily clad clothes with pornographic slogans, with dollar bills being tucked into their, you know, their underwear, our parents would never have believed it. They would have said we're at the point of no return. But
right.
But this is where we are. And what they've done very effectively is they have worked this into the culture through a combination of working it in through education to target our kids through that, and then using corporations and pressure from social media, pressure from the business world to make everyone afraid to say anything and to stand up and say, this is really bad.
Now, what's astounding about this, as we have our conversation with Dr. Teresa Farnan, and this is about an event that happened with protests outside a bar that caters to a same-sex attraction in Dallas, Texas, as part of Pride Month, where they were inviting children to take the stage along with drag queen men dressed as women. When you look at the videotape from the television stations that covered this, and this was a made-for-TV event, you saw parents there. You saw moms and dads with kids, and the drag queens were taking dollar bills from kids' outstretched hands. Now, I'm not a parent. I'll play one here on the radio. But isn't some of this the time when you pick up the phone and call the Department of Children's Services and just say, hey, wait a minute. I may be overly dramatic here by saying this is child abuse, but it truly is. When you strip it down to the very basics of what we're talking about as Catholic parents trying to raise children in a culture that stands for faith, or at least tries to stand for faith.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. This is, make no mistake, this is abusing a child by destroying their innocence, by engaging in early sexualization of a child. And you say to yourself, well, what's the point of this? And if you're paying attention to what is going on in our culture, there is a push right now to normalize pedophilia.
Yeah.
And it's by redefining pedophilia as being someone, you know, the term they use now to refer to it is minor attracted person, right? Which sounds a lot less, as they would say, stigmatizing, but doesn't have the same emotional impact of pedophilia, because we all know that a pedophilia is somebody who abuses a child. Well, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to normalize it by introducing parents, getting parents to see, to think that it's harmless to introduce your children to early sexual experiences. And this goes all the way back. I mean, we could trace this all the way back to Kinsey and the Kinsey Report, which, you know, if you look at the history of that, in the Kinsey Reports on human sexuality that have been regarded as kind of sacrosanct in the last century.
Right, from the 1950s, yeah.
From the 1950s, he describes the sexual experience of children. Well, the only way children have sexual experiences is if adults are molesting them. And everyone looked the other way. And there were a couple of people who tried to call attention to it. And wow, they were marginalized as people who were on the fringe, or people who were alt-right or kooky or whatever else. But that's how we got here. This is trying to normalize the idea that children can engage in sexual activity without it harming who they are. And we know that's not true, because there's so much data on how sexual abuse is devastating for anybody, but, you know, especially for the formation of a child. And this is the point where everybody has to stand up and say enough.
Enough. Right. Exactly. And what was that title again, in the bottomless pit of euphemisms in our culture now?
minor attracted persons.
Wow.
I was trying to think which euphemism.
Which one? That's exactly. Yeah, it is the bottomless pit here. Yeah, our conversation today with Dr. Teresa Farnan. And Dr. Teresa is the co-founder of the Person and Identity Project, which is connected to Catholic dioceses, schools, and parishes, and you as moms and dads as well in the formation and the resources of what we're talking about here, Christian anthropology, about gender identity, about all of those issues that push against who you and I are as Roman Catholic men and women. And we're talking about an event that happened in Dallas, Texas, at a gay club where parents were encouraged to bring their children to a drag show. And they did. And the kids were giving the men dressed as women dollar bills on the stage. Now, if I were one of the reporters there, And excuse me, here comes something that, you know, may offend some ears. Wouldn't you ask some of those same parents, and I bet you know what the answer would be. Oh, by the way, would you take your children to a strip club? That's a legitimate question to ask, right?
I mean, I think the answer is self-evident by the fact that they're there at the gay bar watching a drag show. You know, like, where is the boundary's already been crossed. The only question is where you want to set it this time.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of hope in that. But this is, you know, the other thing that's going on is that as we're seeing a push of articles in the media encouraging parents to take their kids to these events, mm-hmm. whether I think there was one in the Washington Post last year, there was another one this year. I forget what publication it was in, but it was this consideration. Should I take my child to Pride Parade knowing that there's kink there? Mm. And they say, well, yeah, there's nudity, there's people behaving in deviant ways, but it's educational and it's going to build tolerance, so go for it. And that's the message to these young parents. And keep
that's
in mind,
that's just dumb. That's being stupid.
It's insane. It's insane. But this is this generation, these millennials, the millennial parents now are the least catechized and the most disconnected from religion of any generation in American history. Right. So pride is being pushed at them from all fronts, from corporations, from the governments, from liberal churches. Wherever you go, we're seeing pride. Right. So what do they think? They think, oh, I need to raise my child to be a good, tolerant person. And this is the way. That's what I mean when I said it's the new state religion. It's being pushed on an awful lot of people. And we've got to be ready to give an accounting for, you know, in sacred scripture, it says that you need to be ready to give an accounting for your hope. And we need to be ready to repropose Christian anthropology, because I'll tell you what, without Christianity, this world is a very dark place indeed.
Dr. Teresa Farnan with us this afternoon, an important conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show, and one that you can be a part of at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. This demonstration that took place in Dallas in front of a gay bar where they were inviting children, and parents did this. Parents brought their kids to a gay bar with a drag show, and the kids were giving the men dressed as women dollar bills. They were happily taking them from kids, and a representative from the bar said it provided a safe and family-friendly space to celebrate people being who they are. There's another euphemism there, Dr. Teresa, as well. And, you know, if you challenge any of that, and you heard some of that at the beginning of the segment in that news report, you're automatically labeled homophobic. There are any number of labels that they can put on you. So if we have kids who are in the public school setting and are getting these messages about tolerance, and tolerance is important, what are mom and dad supposed to do and say? What is the conversation that moms and dads should start having, and at what age with kids, to explain what tolerance is through the lens of our Catholic faith?
Yeah, that great question. Well, first of all, I always encourage people to use the word charity instead of tolerance. I mean, the people in Germany tolerated the death camps, the Auschwitz death camps. So there's a lot of things
you can
tolerate that aren't necessarily ordered towards the good.
To do it with clarity and charity, right?
Yes, with clarity and charity, right? So you want to be charitable towards others, but you need to start talking to your kids from kindergarten on. And just reaffirming marriage is between a man and a woman. You're born either male or female, and that will never change.
Right.
Because these lessons are being pushed in from kindergarten, from preschool on. With preschool literature, I pulled up on Scholastic magazines, online ordering form. They have a whole section for gender identity. These are books that can be pushed into the classroom. They're written for preschoolers. The Biden administration is in the process of rewriting Title IX so that protection is no longer sex-based, but so that it includes gender identity, which will mean that every single public school will have to allow boys in the girls' bathroom, and will have to, it's going to enshrine gender identity ideology in every school. It becomes the law of the land. And, you know, at this point right now, the church is fighting for a narrow religious exemption, but they're tying federal school lunch money to implementing their new vision of Title IX. So parents have got to get engaged. You've got to show up at your school boards. You've got to contact your representatives about the changes to Title IX. You've got to be prepared to say, enough, this is the line in the sand. You cannot do this to our children.
You're right. This is our opportunity to evangelize, to stand up as Roman Catholic men and women, and our voice counts. And we need to educate these educators about what is going on. What they see as normal is not. So I think this is an important time to evangelize as well. Natalie joining our conversation in Hayward, California, here with Dr. Teresa Farnan, looking at this controversial for kids only event that happened at a bar that caters to those with same-sex attraction, drag queens on stage, family friendly, bring the kids. Parents did in Dallas, Texas. The protesters came out, but nonetheless, it's out there and just accepted as part of the norm today. And you are labeled in a certain way if you don't agree with what's going on in the culture. But we're pushing back this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show. Natalie, thanks. Long preamble there. I had to let off some steam. I apologize. You're on with Dr. Teresa now. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to comment. Pride Month has really pushed me to make the decision to get my two boys out of preschool and elementary. I was absolutely appalled. I wrote an email to the principals and the superintendent of the district how disgusted I am that they are even flaunting this sexual ideology as small as preschoolers, how I felt that they should at least have if they're going to do for one, they need to do for all. If I'm asking for the Pledge of Allegiance to come back in, they won't allow it for the word God in it. But you guys are pushing these sexual ideologies onto everyone. I just took them out. I honestly was teeter-tottering, not knowing where I would take them. Can I afford Catholic education for them? But this really pushed me to get them out now.
Wow, Natalie, God bless you. And I'm so inspired by your courage and your witness. You know, you're witnessing to those administrators. It's a leap of faith. I know I've had my kids in Catholic schools and it is financially very challenging. But I just want to take a moment right now to say, you know, if there's anyone listening right now who's distressed about this and who's saying, you know, I don't know what to do about this, I'll tell you what you can do. You can turn around and fund scholarships for people to get their kids out of the public schools and into our Catholic schools, or provide support in parishes for homeschooling, or for some of the independent Christian schools. If you are listening and you have the resources, this is how we fight the culture. This is exactly what we have to do. And God bless you for standing up and witnessing to it. And what a sad commentary that we're pushing Pride Month into the schools, but not the Pledge of Allegiance. But it's everywhere. It's not just your school.
Natalie, did you get any response from the school board or the superintendent of schools or anyone you reached out to?
I sure did. They said it was equity. It's about getting kids to feel safe, because they do come from same-sex marriages, and how they took it to court, that Pledge of Allegiance has the word God in it, and it's about religion, so versus equity. And I did come back with them. You know, it's no wonder that, unfortunately, shootings, bullying, sexual misconduct with youngsters and right. drug use, all this happening because God is pushed out of the schools. This is no wonder. And so I did respond, but it seems like they're always going to push on to their agenda and right. somehow word it in their it's okay kind of way. I'm not sure, but
on deaf ears, you know, I heard a mom on the radio the other day, and it may have even been on Patrick Madrid show. I forget where I was. It was in the car, and she was talking about her son, who was 8 years old. School year is over in this particular district, but he was afraid to go to school for most of this year, even before the shooting incidents happened very recently, because he says, I'm afraid someone's going to shoot me. So you talk about safety in schools. You know, that is sobering, and I'm sure he's not the only one. It's a sad reality of where we are. So when your school district in Hayward, California, talks about the same-sex agenda in the public school system as providing safety for children, wow, that is just so disconnected. That's incredible. My opinion here. Natalie, thanks for adding to the conversation here. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We can throw up our hands and just say, you know, what do we do? But, you know, this really is a call to action, Dr. Teresa, for all of us as Catholics to start educating public schools in our own communities. It's our tax dollars. So, you know, we vote with our wallets to a certain degree. And I know you can't withhold tax dollars, but if we're sending those tax dollars to fund public schools, then our voice counts.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. But I'll tell you right now, the only thing that the public schools, and I'm not talking about individual teachers, because I know public school teachers who are wonderful people who are distressed by these changes, right? This is being pushed from the top down, from the teachers' unions, from the Biden administration, from you know, some of these liberal state governments. This is a top-down initiative being imposed on our kids and on the teachers who have always faithfully taught them, right? But one thing they understand is money. And if enough people leave public education, they are going to have to look around and say, huh, they're leaving. Right now, they're telling themselves that everybody left, everyone is leaving because of the COVID lockdown. And as people continue to leave public education because of the aggressive ideology, they're going to have to at some point reckon with that and try to do something. But people need to speak up and look at what they did when they start to try to marginalize people and throw labels on you and, you know, accuse you of being transphobic and homophobic and everything else. The example of those protesters in Dallas outside that gay bar, what did they do? They just showed people what was going on. They shone a light on it. And that's what we need to do, whether it's the parents going to school board meetings and reading passages from books in the libraries or highlighting what's being taught in the curriculum or Natalie talking about how they're not even saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Shine a light on this, because that is the only way we are going to reform it. And this is our, we have a duty. While I tell people, get your kids out of public schools, even if your kids aren't in public schools, you still have a duty, because there are a lot of kids who are trapped in these failing public schools.
Dr. Teresa, can we borrow a few more minutes from you? Because a lot of our Relevant Radio family of listeners want to join in this conversation. Can you stay with us for a few more minutes? Absolutely. Yes, and we'll do that. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We are talking about the LGBTQ plus agenda, and it really is that being taught in public schools and public schools pushing back on who you are as moms and dads in light of a Dallas gay bar that had a promotion that said, bring your kids to the drag show. Moms and dads did. Yeah, there were protests otherwise. Let's talk about that as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Live, coast to coast, a look at life you'll never get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. We are talking about this month of June, which is Pride Month, which is supposed to raise awareness and celebrate diversity. But obviously, you can take anything to the nth degree. And that happened in Dallas over the weekend. A Drag Your Kids to Pride event in Dallas, where children got up on stage to dance with drag queens, men dressed as women in thongs. And of course, the organizers claim that this was a family-friendly show that promoted diversity. All right, that happened in Dallas, but it's also happening in other communities across the United States. And we're also seeing this type of, quote, diversity taught in the public school system. We have had a number of Relevant Radio listeners talk about taking their kids out of the public school system because of that. Dr. Teresa Farnan is our guest, an author and a moral philosopher. She's the co-founder of the Person and Identity Project. And a lot of you want to share your opinions about this at 888-914-9149. Sarah's in the Fox Valley of Wisconsin. Sarah, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Teresa.
Hi, hello. Yeah, thank you. And hi, and thank you, Doctor. I'll be brief, I hope. I went to a meeting about a month ago, and it was CRT, critical race theory, and it is hideous. And this, what you're talking about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but go ahead, Sarah.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, the CRT is like exactly what the program is like that you spoke of at the bars in Texas and what they're asking to be accepted. You know, I'm in my 60s. I've never told somebody that has purple, red, green hair with holes in their ears and their nose and all kinds of other things and holding their girlfriend's hand and they're a girl too. I've never said you're not accepted. I hate you. Everybody's made in the image and likeness of God. And I'm really getting very sick of hearing the other side. And I almost want to say it's a demonic side that is saying to us, you're not giving us enough freedoms. Well, wait a minute. When we get our tax forms every year from our local government, we see, city government, we see that three-fourths almost of our taxes are going to public schools. So we, who do not agree with this, I'm not swearing, shiitake, we are forced to pay for it. There has got to be a way that we can also speak up, just like those who are standing there stripping themselves and getting titillated in front of kids. We've got to be able to walk into some office and say, look, this is shiitake, and I don't want any part of it. How can I get out of it? Isn't there a way we can exert our God-given strengths and mental abilities to do what is commonsensical and reasonable?
Yeah, great, great comment. You're absolutely right. And the thing about CRT is that, you know, it takes advantage of the fact that people need to be opposed to the sin of racism. Our church has been standing against racism since the Archbishop of New Orleans announced that he was excommunicating anyone who was practicing segregation, right? So we have been standing as Catholics, we have been standing for the value of every person, no matter what their skin color is, right? But CRT is a distortion because it takes that admirable desire to treat everybody equally and it turns it on its head and it requires people to treat each other unequally. In other words, it says, well, since there is this past history of discrimination of one group against the other, now we're going to discriminate against the group that formerly was the discriminators. And as Catholics, we are called to just absolutely reject that because we are called to love everybody. And we see everybody as having the same identity, child of God. That's your identity. But here's the thing, and I don't mean to, I felt like I was very, I mean, it's easy to get very pessimistic, but here's a recent example of how people standing up can help, right? So Allstate had announced that it was engaging in donating money to one of the gender identity activism causes, and enough people got on the phone and threatened to pull their policy that Allstate backed down, right? So there's an example of how if you get on the phone and complain, you can make a difference, right? But right now, everybody is afraid to speak up, and fear is never of God. Fear is always of the devil. We know the final battle is going to be over the family. And all of this stuff, CRT is intended to deconstruct the family. They talk about how the nuclear family is something that's related to white supremacy. I think there was a whole exhibit in the Smithsonian where they took habits and traits and characteristics of people that should be absolutely associated with everyone, right? And declare that they were associated with oppressive culture and being pushed onto other cultures. We need to just reject that. We need to stand for the equal dignity of every single person. And we really need to just be confident and use this moment to evangelize because we have a beautiful faith.
Sarah, thank you for your comments in the Fox Valley of Wisconsin. It really is a call to action to us as Catholic parents. And we've got Heidi joining us in Oceanside, California, listening to Relevant Radio 1000 on with Dr. Teresa Farnan. Hi, Heidi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Heidi. Hello. I'm calling to comment and encourage any young parents. As my journey has been, I sacrificed my income as a single divorced mother during the years and for my children to go to Christian and Catholic school. And later they walked away from the faith, but later, as they have gotten married and had children, my daughter decided, after she looked around, to return to the faith and put our grandchildren in Christian preschool and school. And I wanted to call and encourage other parents. It is worth the sacrifice.
Yeah, God bless her. That's, you know, what a blessing that your daughter, you know, has come back to her faith and is seeing the same value that you saw in education. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not easy. That's the other thing, though. I think a lot of parents are looking at this saying, how can I afford it? And that's why this has to be a communal responsibility. We have to all take responsibility for ensuring that our kids are educated.
Hey, Heidi, thanks for the call and listening to Relevant Radio in San Diego County today with Dr. Teresa Farnan. We're talking about a Drag Your Kids to Pride event that happened in Dallas over the weekend. Kids on stage to dance with drag queens. They called it a family-friendly show. And sure enough, there were families there, moms and dads, who thought it was cute. Let me have my kids hold dollar bills. And the drag queens took the dollar bills out of the kids' hands. It's true. It's happening. And, of course, this is a message of, quote, diversity that is being taught in the public school systems. And that's your tax dollars and mine at work. But we have that opportunity as Catholics to stand up and evangelize and let them know where we stand, what the truth of our Catholic faith is. So this is an evangelization moment. This isn't a curse the darkness moment, even though there's a lot of darkness out there. It's a call to action from all of us, and we got the fire of the Holy Spirit in us just coming off of Pentecost to go out there and do that. Joe's in Bloomington, Minnesota, listening to Relevant Radio 1330. Joe, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Teresa Farnan.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I really think it'd be great if we had some kind of, instead of everybody reinventing the wheel when they go to their scoreboard and try to figure out how to deal with this and how to handle being called, you know, homophobic, transphobic, racist. You know, a lot of this, why not just call it back to them? Why are they so Christophobic? Why are they so much against Christianity? Why are they so much against the Catholic faith? You know, you can throw that stuff turning around back at them, but that really isn't going to be enough. We really need to have some kind of a nationwide way to deal with this, because the other side has a long plan. They've been working on this for 30, 40 years. They have a plan and stages. They get together. They figure out how they're going to try to pull this stuff off. And Christians and Catholics, people that really see how wicked this is, they really need to have a plan also and come up with ways to deal with this when they're, you know, maybe tamped down by the school board or by the administration. They need to have ways that they can talk to people who have been through this, how they can deal with this, and how we can hold these people accountable, because they are truly wicked. And this stuff is mostly coming through the Democrat Party. It's coming through the teachers union too. And the teachers that see how wicked it is, they need to replace their union heads. They need to replace these people in the unions. They need to do something about it, too. The teachers, they got to quit being afraid. There's children's souls are at stake here. And, you know, there's a 4,000% increase in the last few years of children identifying as transsexuals or whatever they call it, you know, the other sex. It didn't go up 40 times all by itself coincidentally. It went up 40 times because the media is pushing it. Some of the schools are pushing it. And people need to really, we need to get together as a nation on how to deal with this, because the other side is sophisticated and they're extremely evil. And we need to be sophisticated and extremely Christian.
And if I could, I mean, this is a great moment for me to just give a plug for our website. I get no commissions from it. So I'm doing this. We were given a grant by our, you know, our Sunday Visitor and some other organizations to get this information up and running, because we know people need this kind of information. So the website is personandidentity.com, and it's the Person and Identity Project. And what it is it is a website that has resources for parents, for schools, for dioceses, for churches, and we go through everything. We go through exactly what happens in a gender transition, what are the medical horrors that a child is subjected to, where it really actually, it demonstrably harms the body of a child. We go through, we have information about the social contagion aspect of it. We have links to resources for parents, whether it's parents of rapid onset, parents of ROGD kids, rapid onset gender dysphoria kids, Partners for Ethical Care, Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine. All of it is there. We have the resources. Dioceses have been speaking up about it. But look at the mistake. Even though it is being aggressively pushed in through, you know, by politics and through the state, it's a mistake to see this simply in terms of one party versus the other party, because there have been plenty of Republican governors who have waffled on protecting girls' sports. And there have been plenty of Republican governors who have waffled on protecting minors from these transgender surgeries, right? So it's a mistake to see that. And here's what you need to, here's what everybody needs to do. Everybody needs to educate themselves on what exactly is going on. And then you need to look around and you need to be a resource for these parents and children and families that are suffering from this. Because this is harming families and children. First and foremost, that has got to be a concern. Protect your children, help the people around you who are being impacted by this. And so you've got to be proactive, you've got to be protective, and you've got to really provide that personal support for the people who are most affected. But you got to educate yourself first.
Joe, a great call. I think next time Drew's on vacation, I'll be listening to you hosting the show. Thank you for your Catholic common sense, Joe. Thanks for listening in Bloomington, Minnesota. God bless you. 888-914-9149 with Dr. Teresa Farnan. We're talking about this being Pride Month and a very controversial event happening in Dallas over the weekend. There were protests, but a lot of parents took their kids, young kids, to a drag your kids to Pride event at a club in Dallas where kids took to the stage to dance with drag queens, men dressed as women. And that's seen as diversity. That's the message from the other side. That's contrary to who you and I are as Roman Catholic men and women. But our opportunity to evangelize here and to set the record straight, there's no pun intended there. Ashley in California joining us here at 888-914-9149. Ashley, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Teresa.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I live in California, and I've grown up with people who were, you know, part of the gender identity, LGBTQIA. And, you know, one of the things I've really noticed with firsthand accounts is just the separation between the parents from the parents and the children, and that the children are alien, or the parents are completely alienated from the family, and they follow different things relating to grooming tactics that involves having an underage person and getting sexual acts normalized to them. Like, they will say, oh, you can become whoever you want. You can be gay. You can be genderqueer. You know, gender is a spectrum. They say stuff like that, and they sugarcoat it. And one of the things that I think is damning is that when kids, you know, they're coming up and they're really curious about who they are, you know, a 7-year-old isn't going to fathom what a male to female person is. And mm-hmm. one of the things I noticed that they do is that they change the names. So say they, when they come out to their teacher, like come out or something like that, what they do is they have them say, call themselves by a different name, but and different pronouns than what their actual birth pronouns are and what their actual birth names are in front of their parents. or mm-hmm. away from their parents. And when I don't know if that's been mentioned like that at all. And you mentioned that the social contagion part, and I was watching a video recently, and it said that it was a news broadcast, I don't know how many years ago, that stated that a lot of rare mental disorders, like such as Tourette's syndrome or BPD, BPD, and other mental illnesses, have just skyrocketed ever since social media has kind of popularized different things like relating to social mental illness, and also stuff relating to gay and trans stuff. And I just wanted to bring that up to other parents. And I'm not a parent, but that's something that I've noticed, and I think one of the things that would do us really well is if we look up things relating to the tactics that predators use on children.
Those are mm-hmm. all good points, Ashley. Dr. Teresa?
Yeah, there were a lot of good points in there. So I just want to point out, just to distinguish very carefully, because it's one thing with the young children who are being transitioned and their parents are very active and kind of aggressive and insisting that everybody observe the pronouns and they're changing the birth certificate and everything. That's one subcategory of the whole transgender identifying child population. But there's the big area where we see it is teenage girls in particular, but also teenage boys who are encouraged to transition through online influences. And then as soon as they articulate that in public school, they will be given a transition support, a gender support plan, where the school will actively, just as the caller said, actively support the child in transitioning at school while still using the birth name and the pronouns that are in accord with the child's biological sex in official correspondence home to the parents. Wow. So the school is actively participating in pushing this child down a social transition while deceiving the parents. And there's a lawsuit filed in Massachusetts right now over this, where parents have said that this is something where these Massachusetts public schools had this secret gender identity plan. But this is happening all over the country. When we go out and we give presentations, the first thing I do is I pull up the local school district and I get a copy of the gender identity support plan, and I put it up on the screen to show parents, hey, you know what? This is happening in your public schools. If your child even seems to say or insinuate that he or she might be ambivalent about their biological sex, the school is going to put them into this gender support program. And once a child begins a social transition, 97% of them, 95 to 97% of them, go on to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, and then you're getting into significant medical harm. But the caller also talked about the distance between the parent and the child and the kind of separation. And that's one thing we're really seeing with social media, because these online communities of trans kids groom the kids so that they reject any influence from their parents. If their parents express any kind of ambivalence, the online glitter family is telling these kids, your parents don't know you, your parents don't love you, and because they don't know you and don't love you, they're not going to support this. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's what drives this wedge between the parents and the child at the moment when the child is so vulnerable. It is hideous.
Dr. Teresa, I'm going to just impose on you, because there are so many relevant radio listeners who want to talk to you about this very important topic, and this is like layers of an onion as we find out from Ashley what's going on in school districts and other parents all across the country. If you could stay with us for another few moments. Dr. Teresa Farnan is the co-founder of the Person and Identity Project. The important website to bookmark to go to is personandidentity.com, personandidentity.com. Our number, 888-914-914. 149 as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Your Life Connected, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. Issues of identity and sexuality, they mix together and they're available to our kids all over the culture. And of course, it is so confusing right now. And what do you do as a Roman Catholic man or woman? Well, we staged that topic up against what happened in Dallas over the weekend, a Drag Your Kids to Pride event where children went on stage to dance with drag queens. It's part of Pride Month. And there were a number of parents who went there. Yes, there were demonstrations as well. But it's more perversive than what happened at one club in Dallas that caters to those with same-sex attraction. It's happening in our communities. And of course, it's being taught in our public schools as well. Our conversation here with Dr. Teresa Farnan, who is an author and a moral philosopher and the co-founder of Person and Identity Project. And the website to go to with so many resources is personandidentity.com. That's personandidentity.com. We're here at 888-914-9149. Andrew joining the conversation in Tampa, Florida. Andrew, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Teresa.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, thank you for having me. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
So I had a question because I'm going to be a new parent in a month or two. Regarding schools and, you know, daycares and where I'm going to send my children. But, you know, in listening to the conversation, I had a question about how, I'll preface that I'm a religious person. I came from a mixed religion household of Judaism and Catholicism. But how can the contingency, turn a blind eye to the sexual perversion of non-gay. For instance, if you're upset about families dragging their kids to drag shows, are we also about families dragging their kids to Hooters?
Mm. Andrew, you know, it's a good question. It's a question that I asked before, but that it really is legitimate because it is it's the normalization of everything, Dr. Teresa.
Yes, absolutely. Andrew, great question. Great question. And you know, all of this is our kids are especially vulnerable because we've broken down our culture and broken down the family. And honestly, you can trace a straight line from all of this transgender ideology being pushed into the schools all the way back to the sexual revolution, because this goes back, the first introduction of gender ideology into our culture was the contraceptive pill, which normalized the idea that by taking medication, you could suppress your fertility and then be able to have, you know, the goal was to be able to have women could have sexual freedom just like men. So we can trace it all the way back. And I'm happy to talk about the role of pornography, because there are statistics out there showing that exposure to pornography makes men in particular, this is a Bloomington study from, I think, 2017, Indiana University in Bloomington, that men were more likely to accept same-sex marriage if they were frequent consumers of pornography. Or we could talk about how the degradation of pornography in some cases is what's driving these young women to want to transition, right? So a young woman who encounters misogynistic, degrading pornography online is not going to feel safe being a woman, because what does she see people doing to women? Humiliating them, degrading them, treating them in horrendous ways. So this is by no means, singling out. I mean, we're talking about this issue because this was the issue that came up. But I don't want to give the impression in any way that we're singling out or blaming these kids who are going through these gender transitions, because in a lot of cases, these are kids who are really, really vulnerable. 30% of them are on the autism spectrum. 88% of them have underlying mental health issues. You know, they have, when you look at the adverse childhood experiences, family conflict, the breakdown of the family, drug abuse, you know, you name it. These are kids that are hurting. And especially over the last 2 years, with everything the kids have been through with COVID, our kids are really, really hurting. So in shining a light on this, you are absolutely right to say, hey, what about the rest of the culture? You know, we shouldn't just be singling out people who are same-sex attracted and saying, you know, like giving the impression that somehow they're worse than other people. But the reason why we single this out is because this is a situation where these very vulnerable kids are being put down a pathway that leads to medical and psychological harm. It does not reduce the suicide risk. We have all this information about these statistics on our website, personandidentity.com. But you are absolutely right to highlight the breakdown of the family and the role of the sexual revolution in this. Absolutely right. Thank you for that comment.
Andrew, thanks for listening in Tampa Bay, and God's blessings to you and your family. I just have to run because we're just up against the clock here, and I just want to get Michael in with a quick question in Jacksonville, Florida. Michael, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, I'm curious, has there been any history with respect to Supreme Court decisions and parental rights with respect to, as a Christian, if I'm not mistaken, parents are supposed to teach their kids to know, love, and serve God, and this seems to be a direct sort of attack against those responsibilities as your expression in religion. Has there been any court cases in the past which say that the state can interfere with their public education systems with the responsibilities, religious responsibilities of parents?
Yeah, unfortunately, the only thing the Supreme Court has affirmed is that you as a parent have a right to opt out of the public school system and send your children to get a religious education. That's it. That was the Pierce v. Society of Sisters case in the 1920s, right? But since then, courts, lower courts, have had decisions where they have specifically said you as a parent can't influence the curriculum. And the problem is, while most states allow carve-outs for sex education, they do not allow you to opt your child out of the anti-bullying culture and social-emotional learning, which is where they're mainstreaming this.
Dr. Teresa, thank you so much for this important conversation. Dr. Teresa Farnan, the website is personandidentity.com, and that's A-N-D, personandidentity.com. Dr. Teresa Farnan here on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.